Sitting in the studio right now, AJ, is a guy who wants to build a stadium.
Nice.
In Bridgeport.
Okay.
And we're all for that.
Yes, we are.
Andre Swanston, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Oh,
come on.
Thank you.
How old are you?
42.
Wow.
You have enough money to do something like this?
So this is actually going to be the largest private investment in any of the professional sports stadiums.
Yeah, normally you get the cities to the state and whatever. Yeah.
So this is privately owned land, privately acquired the rights to the MLS Next Pro team. This is something that's going to be an all hands on deck.
You have that kind of money? You're going to bring people together.
Yeah, sure.
Right? You're going to bring a team together?
So even if somebody's a multi billionaire, nobody just flips the bill for something like this.
Right.
You put together investment groups. There's a lot of infrastructure work. I'm not cutting a nine figure check.
No.
Yeah. All right. But you're a very successful guy. What's your story?
I am the son of immigrants, born and raised in the Bronx. Had an opportunity in the 90s to get a scholarship to the Hotchkiss School up in Litchfield County. That went to UConn, ran track. That's where I met my wife. We both ran track at UConn. Spent time at Ameriprise Financial in East Hartford, JP Morgan, in Westchester.
Nice.
Started a tech startup that powered all the data for streaming radio and streaming TV back in 2013.
Wait, you did that?
Yeah. Cool. Company called TrueOptic. So I'd say probably 70% of every...
How does this happen? You're going to college, then you're like, hey, you know what the world needs? Like, how does that happen? How do you go from being a college kid to...
When you have an idea from a business standpoint, the most important thing is to surround yourself with people smarter than you are. I mean, that is the number one thing to be successful.
I try that all the time.
It always works for you.
I try.
Now you tell me.
Yeah. And so how I pulled it off is I had a great idea, but I was able to surround myself with people that were smarter than I. So my co-founder was a mechanical engineer, mathematician that went to Carnegie Mellon, right, that built a lot of tech. My wife actually was a chief client officer and is a better operator than I am, right? I get,
Right.
But how do you come up with this idea? What did you see that you thought, hey,
there's a need for this?
Yeah,
there's a need.
To use an analogy, I know we're talking about soccer, but use an analogy from another sport. I just decided to skate where the puck was going.
Right.
And so I saw that so much was switching to streaming, right? Even the college kids on campus were listening to live radio, but they're doing it on their laptop in the dorm.
And this was what year?
Probably around 2004, when I started to think, like, this streaming thing is going to take off.
Man.
And then a few years later, when you started hearing about streaming to television, I'm like, oh my goodness, now you can stream to television too. And then smart speakers came out, and you just knew that that's where a lot of the listenership and the monetization was going to go. And it just started in 2013. We started building the mousetrap and the filing patents and stuff around the collecting the data for that. No one cared. In 2013, no one cared. In 2014,
wow, what data?
We would look at insight and say, "Hey, if somebody likes this radio show, what type of car are they most likely to?"
Holy crap!
Right? Wow, don't look at my car in the parking lot. Go around that one. Just keep
walking.
But
that's brilliant.
Right,
you build this company; it's very successful. Then you sell it.
Yeah, we sold it to TransUnion in 2020.
Okay, what have you been doing since then?
Yeah, so for 2 years, I was the senior vice president helping to run and build the media and entertainment vertical for TransUnion.
Wouldn't you travel the world and smoke cigars?
Because when a company buys your company for that much money, you got to work for them for a couple of years. That's part of the deal. That's part of the deal, right?
No compete. You don't go start another company.
No free lunch.
You're going to be a consultant.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay,
so you have to help that come along. And this idea of trying to bring a MLS soccer team actually started in 2019, even before I sold the company. In fact, you could argue it's one of the motivations to sell the company, to be able to really start pursuing this dream.
Okay.
You see it's coming. It's another wave coming. Like streaming was coming. You see soccer's coming to America.
Soccer in America. I mean, it's funny. Just yesterday, I think they announced that the World Cup final in 26 is going to be in New Jersey.
Yeah.
That's right.
We know other matches are going to be at Gillette up in Massachusetts. So you have Connecticut that is going to be right in between. The biggest...
venues. We always get looked over.
I think Connecticut always gets the short end of the stick, right? So we're in the New York City tri-state area, but we're like the third forgotten member of the New York City tri-state area.
Yeah.
And then we're in New England, but no one else in New England really wants to acknowledge that Connecticut's in New England, right? Massachusetts and New Hampshire, Rhode Island. So we're kind of, the ones that everybody hates on, but we win, right? UConn dominates. Quinnipiac shocked everybody.
Yeah,
we've already had thousands of Connecticut fans sign up for our newsletter to get information. We've had, I think, over 600 parents and kids reach out about our youth academy. One, obviously, if you just put a needle in the state of Connecticut, right in the middle, pinned a needle, Bridgeport isn't centrally located geographically, but from a population and transportation standpoint, Bridgeport is the epicenter of Connecticut, right? In terms of, it's something like over 70% of the state's population.
Yeah, four of the five cities, very close.
Yeah, over 70% of the state population can get to Bridgeport within an hour or so. Not by just from the highway, from the Metro North, the Amtrak, by sea.
Yeah.
And so you can't really recreate that infrastructure, not just in Connecticut, but really anywhere in the Northeast can you recreate that infrastructure. I think there's a lot of momentum in the Bridgeport waterfront with all the development, Steel Point and everything else. Forget like just the racial diversity in Connecticut, but it's very ethnically diverse, right? So you have really proud like Polish American population that loves soccer, Portuguese American population, right? Colombian American, Brazilian, German American. I mean, so Caribbean. So you have all these ethnicities that really love soccer. And that's why Connecticut is the highest soccer viewing market in the country without an MLS team.
Where are we now in this process? Do you have an okay from the soccer people? Do you have a team?
Yeah, so we have the team. So we had the press conference January 9th in Bridgeport. It was actually the most attended expansion press conference, the most viewed expansion press conference of any team in the league, which is really exciting. We have been working on this for several years. We secured control of the land last year. We got unanimous
vote
for the zoning.
So you have a team.
Go to ConnecticutUnited.com. We have a team.
You
the team is done. We were awarded the MLS, the next expansion
team. Now, what happens
team.
If you can't build a place to play?
We're going to be able to build a place.
Okay.
We're ambitious and aggressive in terms of getting it open for next season. One, because the demand from the fans is
mayor
so high.
Mayor Ganem's a great mayor to have because he's into that stuff. Like,
yeah. So the mayor's economic development team has been working with us on this project since fall of 2001. Right behind the scenes, the state reps.
Well, he's done a good job at keeping his mouth shut then.
The city council. So here's one of the things, just generally speaking, and this is not for politics. I actually care less about politics, right? But just generally speaking, it is hard for people to work on something so big and keep it quiet for so long.
Yep.
And so I'm appreciative of not only the state leaders and the community leaders, but even some of the corporate leaders that have want to do community partnerships or sponsorship, that everybody's really done a good job of keeping this under the radar, except for the last few months.
So this will be a minor league team.
Yeah. So our ambition is to be the next full MLS expansion team. But in Connecticut, again, everybody hates on Connecticut. We have to prove it. So how we're proving it is launching the free youth academy and launching the minor league team. And then we just want to go beat up on all the other teams and say, hey, we're better than you. Let us in.
Right.
Okay. Could this lead to a women's team, too, with having the stadium and all that?
So, yeah, we've been very transparent publicly that our goal is to also put a bid in for NWSL team. Look, not many markets in the country have the cultural history of support for women's sports like Connecticut does. And so the economies of scale of having both the men's professional team and a women's team in that stadium, you know, the University of Connecticut Center for Economic Analysis said that this would actually be the biggest job creator and economic impact of any kind of sports and entertainment project in the state in almost 30 years.
Huh. Wow. Yeah. How many people would the stadium seat?
Yeah, so phase one is going to be between 7,500 and 10,000. And then what we already put in with our zoning and all of our architectural plans is the ability for that stadium to expand up to a little bit over 22,000. So on that same property, we can have the minor league team. We can add a little bit more to have the women's team. And then we can add much more to be able to house the full MLS team.
When do you think the stadium would be done if things go your way?
Summer 2025.
Nice.
Means that we're...
That means you're breaking ground soon?
We are trying to. So if it was up to me, we'd break ground yesterday or tomorrow.
Yeah. What's in the way?
Well, so it's on the site's on the water. So there's FEMA floodplain. So you have to make sure it's safe. There's site remediation.
Government stuff.
There's a lot of red bureaucracy. Again, we've had a ton of support from the
Yeah, they're
the
helping
local.
You as much as they can, but you got to go through the steps.
Yeah, you still have to, you know, there's no shortcuts. You still have to go through everything. But the governor's office, the Department of Economic Development, Environmental Protection, everybody's been aware of this project for a couple of years, and we've just been working behind the scenes to make things happen.
I love your story, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Awesome.
We wish you nothing but the best.
Yeah.
Come back anytime, and if there's anything we could do to help the public get involved, if you want to use us as a megaphone, please do that.
Thank you so much. Really
appreciate absolutely. It. Wow. We're just excited that you want to do something great for the state. We love this place.
Thank you.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.